Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Self-Aware Millennial. I am your host, Jay Mix. My pronouns are she, her, but I respect they, them, especially for those who are interacting with me for the first time. Some quick announcements before we get into our actual episode. Thank y'all so much for allowing me a little time to gather this episode for y'all. This month has already been busy for me creatively, and I'm honestly shook that we are already in the middle of March. The pandemic lockdown touched down right around this point last year, and so much of my outlook on my life and career choices have evolved immensely since then. By the way, I never caught COVID-19, but also I'm still not vaccinated either. I'm really blessed right now because I have not caught COVID, but we can save that for another time. So I want to let y'all know about a new little side hustle job that I got. I am the marketing director for No Dream Deferred. If you don't know anything about No Dream Deferred, don't worry. I'm about to give you a nice little spiel about what we do. So, No Dream Deferred is a community-anchored theater production company. We prioritize culturally relevant theater and the work of historically marginalized playwrights for our New Orleans audience. We recognize the systemic nature of cultural marginalization in the arts, and therefore, we fight to create and to create as often as we please so that our stories are told and our dreams are never deferred. No Dream Deferred strives to be an artistic home to theater makers of color in New Orleans, a place where our stories are authentically realized and wonderfully experienced. So yeah, I'm doing the marketing direction for all that, primarily on social media at the moment because, you know, our theaters aren't being opened until COVID is pretty much over. So until that, we're going to be creatively getting our stuff out there. Shout out to patron and founder, artistic director, and friend of the show, Lauren Turner, for presenting me with this exciting opportunity to be part of the Dream Team. If you'd like to support the Dream Team launch, you can make a tax-deductible donation by visiting the link provided in my show notes. The last thing I wanted to let y'all know about before we get into the next part of the podcast is that I've been working on honoring what my body is communicating to me in so many ways. Not just in the ways that it's telling me I need to do certain things, but as of lately, I have been resting a lot. When I am tired, I thankfully have the liberties right now to be able to nap or rest whenever I want or whenever I please. So I've been taking a lot of liberties to do that whenever, no matter what I'm doing, no matter if I have to finish a project or what, like my body's telling me to do this right now, I'm going to do it. And normally when I wake up, I feel much better about just everything. Just even like my mindset, my mental health changes so much when I get a nice, decent amount of rest. If I'm feeling insecure, I observe the internal and external environments that contribute to that feeling. I've been doing a lot, and hopefully once I get myself like completely solidified, I'll share some more of like how I've been doing that. They're kind of almost like coping mechanisms, but not in the ways that are things that I have to use when I'm triggered. It's more the things so that I never become triggered, if that makes sense. All right, so this episode is going to be just me talking to y'all like I do every now and then, because I feel like that's important to kind of break it up. But this one is really important to me because I've said I was going to talk about this for a while. I've talked about me being on Zoloft pretty much the entire time I've had this podcast, almost on every single episode. And I've kept y'all up to date on my mental health every single week, and it has fluctuated. And a lot of it had to do with me taking Zoloft and the ways in which that it was affecting my body. So I wanted to talk about the side effects of what Zoloft is doing in my body when I'm taking it. Now, I want to put out a disclaimer. I cannot speak on how Zoloft affects anyone else but myself. It changes depending on which body it's going to be affecting. So not everyone is allowed to take Zoloft, by the way. I believe you have to be at least like a certain age of adulthood to begin taking it. I think it's 25 years old or older. So just to throw that out there, I'm no doctor, no expert on anything. I can just only go purely off of my experience. So here we go. What the hell is Zoloft? Zoloft, otherwise known as sertraline, is an antidepressant belonging to a group of drugs called selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs for short. Sertraline affects chemicals in the brain that may be unbalanced in people with depression, panic, anxiety, or obsessive compulsive symptoms. And just so you're aware, that is from www.drugs.com if you want to know more. But I was that person that had depression and anxiety really bad, which was why the doctor prescribed this to me when I went into the hospital. And we're going to talk about that. I'm going to finally give a nice little story time on my time at River Oaks Hospital, which is located here in the area of New Orleans. So I was feeling really suicidal, to be quite frank, when I decided to go to River Oaks. It was just a culmination of a whole bunch of things that were going on in my life personally, within my family structure. As most of you know, I lived with my family for pretty much my entire life up until like the last 3 years or so. And the thing about, at least with me, is that I always knew that I could be doing so much more. And I knew that my flourishing as a young adult, as I guess at this point I was on like my quarter life crisis situation, but it wasn't a quarter life crisis because I already had that. I had that actually right before I graduated college. But in this regard, I knew that I could thrive so much more if I lived on my own and I just had my own space. You know how like flowers can't grow unless their environment is made for them to grow. I felt like a flower that was in an environment that I could no longer, like, I was like suffocating, you know? So all this is coming up, and I decided, without getting into grave detail, that evening I was going to, oh shoot, you know what? No, I remember why now. I remember why. I remember, oh wow, should I say this story? Yeah, I want to say this story. So that same evening, I remember a couple of hours before I finally revealed to my family that I had been cheated on by my boyfriend. And I remember feeling a sense of relief. And I do also remember I was prepared for their responses. That didn't necessarily like hinder like my mood or anything. But I do remember after saying all of that, and you know, like I guess somehow like my body just said, okay, you've done it. And I don't know exactly where it came from, but I just know that afterwards there was just a whole bunch of other things that were going through my brain, and to the point where I just felt like if I didn't get help right now for myself, because no one else is going to do that for me, like I have to do it for me. If I don't do this now, I don't know if I'm going to be here for much longer. And I already knew, like, I was like, my life, I got so much to do. And I like, that's the thing about when people are suicidal. They know most of the time they know that they have so much more they can do. They have so much they can accomplish. They know that people love them. This is more along the lines of not wanting to suffer those feelings that you get. And for me, like I was unprescribed. Like I had really bad anxiety, really bad depression that just hindered my mood. Even if I was having a great time, like it'll just be a quick shift. And like, I just could not focus. So that's the feeling that I did not want anymore. It had nothing to do with like how I was interacting with people and how I was thriving as an artist, as a creative. So when I finally decided that same evening to go, I don't know if I even told my family either. I just left. I remember taking some clothes with me because, I mean, I didn't know like if I was going to need clothes, but I took a bag of clothes with me and I drove. This was probably around like 3 a.m. I think this might have been around 3 a.m. I said, yeah, I'm getting out of here and I'm going. I get there, ring the doorbell, and they admit me because they have to ask me questions and everything. And I remember at that point, they were like, okay, Yoso, now you're not going to have your phone for a whole week, and you're not gonna have all these other things either, or however long I was in there. I mean, I was in there a little over a week. I'm saying that because of that, but I didn't know actually how long I was gonna be there at that point. So I was like, all right, well, I texted some people right quick, and I like the people I cared about. I think I kept, I texted my somebody that I work at with my job to let them know, yo, I'm not gonna be working this week. And then I texted my sister and told her, and I believe I also texted my boyfriend and be like, yo, I'm gonna be here, and you know, like they'll find out all the information if they want to come visit or whatever. Sorry, this is not supposed to be a story about like my time at River Oaks. We can do that another time. So anyway, fast forward to the hospital visit itself. And let's just say I did not want to start taking Zoloft, but that's what they prescribed to me. I remember this vision that I had from that time when I first took it. There's this old lady that was working there. Like, I mean, she was a very old lady that, she, like, her eyes were just like bugging in a way that's kind of like, you see, like those witches on like those old Disney movies and stuff, like the cartoons. I can't even think of the one right now, but like it's really creepy because like when she was giving it to me, like her eyes were all bugging, like her hands were kind of shaking when she was like giving me the cup with the Zoloft in it. And that's all I can remember about my first time, like about to take it. I'm like, this just does not seem like a great idea because of just the whole vibe of it all right now, but I'm gonna take it. And I remember right after that, I remember feeling kind of, I was starting to feel numb throughout the day. I felt like a zombie. And that was the first time, like, honestly, I had felt any source of relief. And I say relief in a way of, like, my thoughts were finally not controlling my life in that time and space. I remember I enjoyed it in a way that I didn't have to feel, which was something that I needed at that point. So I'm not like even mad about it. But another side effect I had was that I was agitated and I was twitching, especially like the first day I had taken it. And I should also let y'all know, like the doses I had while I was there of the sertraline was 100 milligrams, if I'm not mistaken. So I, for the first day, 2 days, like I was like really jittery, definitely a zombie, definitely numb. I couldn't feel. And I know that one of the reasons that I knew it was working in that way, the ways in which like I needed it to work in order for me to be able to process, like, it's funny because like when you're on Zoloft or any of like these SSRIs, I'm guessing, I've never been on any of the other ones, but I remember how I wasn't able to feel happy or feel sad, but I could tell that I was happy or I was sad or something. It's very interesting. It was a new feeling for me. And I remember one instance in particular while I was there, and this is kind of personal, but I do remember this particularly. So visiting hours is only an hour a day. So I was blessed to have people that visited me during that time. They were mostly, you know, my family or my sister and my boyfriend. They were the two that came to visit me. But I remember my boyfriend in particular crying, like just kind of upset. And I remember wanting to cry with him and not being able to because of the damn Zoloft, like not allowing me to feel emotions. It was so interesting. I was like, dang, this stuff is so, I understand why people take this stuff now, or need to take this. And in that regard, like I still felt sympathy. I still feel like I empathized in a way, but I couldn't actually feel those emotions. It was interesting. So yeah, that's what happened while I was in the hospital. After I left the hospital, I was, they decided to, you know, down my dosage because I didn't need that much. So I had it 50 milligrams. That's what I take currently, or what I was taking currently up until a month and a half ago. And I guess my current side effects are kind of good and bad right now. I have restless sleep when I'm on it, especially at the beginning. So that's kind of within the agitation of it all. I've noticed, especially after I've been off of it for about 2 months now, I've been unable to feel inspired enough to create anything. If I do, it's kind of like, I don't know. It's very interesting. I can't create as well as I can when I'm not on it, if that makes any sense. So what I really mean by that is, for example, I have not, while I was taking Zoloft regularly, I was not able to produce music because I wasn't feeling inspired to create anything. I couldn't hear anything. And I'll talk about this a little bit later, but ever since I've been off of it, I've been thriving on that. But another side effect I had currently, like since I was out of the hospital, was that, this is a good one, by the way, it was easier for me to run and exercise because I didn't feel the exhaustion nearly as much. These SSRIs, or at least Zoloft in particular, allowed me to exercise and not feel exhaustion or anything, or like just feel like any of the pain that comes through when you're like exercising or like feeling tired and everything. Like I was able to go for a very long time without stopping. And normally when I'm running, I run about 3 to 4 miles straight without stopping. And I notice when I'm off of Zoloft, it's much harder for me to continue to run. Like I have to take breaks in between. But if I'm on Zoloft, I can do the whole thing in no time. It's really cool. But yeah, exercising is easier. And this is one that's kind of bad though. And this is the main reason why I decided not to be on Zoloft anymore, at least right now. It's because when I'm on Zoloft, I am never horny, unfortunately. And it's not fair. As most of y'all know, like I'm a very sexual person and I like sex. So the fact that I can't like get myself in the mood when I'm on Zoloft, it just defeats the purpose. Fun fact though, if I know I'm going to be like hooking up with someone soon, I won't take Zoloft for a few days prior to like our meetup or a hookup because I know that this, like for me, I'm just not going to get any pleasure out of it. Not nearly as much as I know I can, because you just don't feel all of those emotions like completely. And also, let's talk about the fact that I'm a vagina owner, and let's just say I primarily have sex with penis owners that don't always know how to please somebody with a vagina, but we'll talk about that in another episode. So yeah, sex is less fun when I'm on Zoloft. It takes longer for me to orgasm and masturbate, which is the main reason why, yeah, I stopped taking it. I wanted to feel the power of my orgasms again because my orgasms are everything. Like that is like hands down why I stopped taking it, but now y'all know. So how has Zoloft helped me thrive? So I'm gonna let y'all know how I felt before versus how I feel after taking Zoloft. So before, I was overcome with emotions that I could not function or do anything else with my day except obsess over whatever was occupying my mind at the time. So let's say at the beginning of the day, one of my sisters like really gets on my nerves or something like that. Or like I make a mistake and I do something wrong at work and one of my managers gets upset about me doing that, and like I forget the order for another person's table, da da da. This is when I used to work for service industry. That kind of stuff would stick with me the entire day. I would never be able to shrug it off. I was never able to just be like, oh well. I never gave myself grace when I wasn't on Zoloft, and so having it like being on it now has allowed me to process, and I guess you know what. That's the best way to put it. My coping mechanisms and my coping skills have been easier to cope with and to work with when I'm on Zoloft because I'm not having the emotions of whatever was happening to me that day, like overcome my mood. So yeah, that was what I said before. After I started taking Zoloft, my anxieties were basically, like I said, a passing thought, and they didn't hinder with my ability to function day to day. I was able to process my emotions and not let them rule me. I was able to practice my coping mechanisms, less distraction and noise from my brain, like, because my brain has just so much noise telling me different things to do, things that I need to be doing, things that I shouldn't be doing right now, things that people have said like 10 years ago that still stick with me today, things that, like, everything. And it just would not shut up. Like, my brain just keeps talking. It's kind of like now, like, how I'm talking and I just, like, I can't even take my time talking because that's my anxiety wanting to talk so fast because I got to get everything out because I'm like, oh, they're not going to want to listen to me. They're not going to want to listen to me and me talk for the next like 30 minutes about my Zoloft adventures, whatever. Like, when I can take my time, I can totally take my time talking and not rush, because if the people that matter aren't going to care, you know? So, right, I needed a new environment, but was always hindered by the unchecked mental illnesses of those in my home environment. This is why I'm a huge stickler for Black mental health. I knew I needed to do what was best for me in this situation, but it was hard. I was a people pleaser due to variables that I developed from being physically and emotionally abused by family members during my childhood. And I wouldn't even just, not just my family members, but I mean also people that I were close in my life at that time, loved ones. And that was something that was considered normal back then. And still to this day in the Black community, like, and not just the Black community, but like I say Black community because like that is just one of those things that run rampant and we're the ones that aren't going to therapy right now. So I think that it's important that we realize that, yes, abuse, whether it's somebody that helped create you or someone that is a stranger that scooped you up and put you in a van and brought you somewhere to do whatever, those are all still considered abuse, whether or not you like that. And I knew that it was child abuse from a very young age. And I used to say that all the time. And I remember when I was a child and when I was younger, I would be like, yo, this is child abuse. And they're just like, no, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Trying to gaslight me and say it's not, or trying to make it seem as though like it's okay. Like what was happening was okay, because this was how I was brought up. And this is how, you know, this was how I was disciplined and it worked for me. And not considering the fact that not everybody has to be disciplined in the same way in order to be disciplined, if that makes sense. And discipline has nothing to do with being hit or hurt. I think a big, especially with discipline in the Black community, we all know how we got disciplined when we were on the fields and some of us in the houses. So I couple that to the fact that a lot of our physical abuse comes from being slaves and knowing nothing else about discipline. But that's another episode for another day. We can totally go into that at another time. That's my suspicion. That's where I recollect and think. I mean, I also know other cultures disciplined by abuse as well, but I think we just need to start using that as the language. And I think it's just hard for some people to see that because that makes them think that if their parenting style is wrong because we're calling it abuse, but that's when it is abuse. I mean, some people, depending on how you got hit, I know for me, I got hit with the bell. I got hit with a switch. I got hit with I would have marks afterwards. And sometimes I would get hit for no reason at all. I would just get hit because I was in the proximity of the person that was upset. And I thought for the longest time, like, this is so unfair. I'm thinking about like all of my other friends and y'all, as y'all know, I went to very privileged schools growing up that a lot of the kids that I was aware of did not get abused like I did. I know some of them did, but like I felt like I was the only one, or at least one of the only ones There was times, that's why I enjoyed going to school so much, because I was away from the house. I was away from the people that were abusing me. And I didn't necessarily want to leave either when I left school. That's why I enjoyed going to school so much, because I didn't want to be at home all the time. And yeah, sorry, I went on a complete tangent on that. That'll be something else I talk about in the future. I know this is something that, these are things that I have not shared very much on the podcast as of late, but I think it's important now for y'all to know, like, where I came from in order to get to where I am. And, you know, I hate using the word resilient, but, like, I will say that a lot of it has been resilient in the way that I've been able to overcome all of that. But I also couple that to the fact that of the places, the resources that I have of people and the schools that I went to, it was a lot of predominantly white privileged schools with kids that didn't necessarily have to be abused, because their parents were in good spots to not be like upset to the fact that they take it out on their children, because, you know, they're now responsible for these kids that they've created, you know, like, sorry, I'm going on a tangent one more time. Let me get back to Zoloft. So with the assistance of Zoloft, the support of my loved ones who understood the importance of me changing my environment, I am now living in my own space. I have been privileged to build up my own personal environment that caters to who I am as an artist. It's been amazing. And this podcast in particular would have never happened had I not lived on my own. And I like, thanks to Zoloft, I now have a podcast. Thanks to Zoloft, I now live on my own. I've been able to like be able to process my emotions enough in order for me to like get out of the house, get out of that space, get into my own place and live my life and live it comfortably. So now I want to kind of quickly talk about why I stopped taking Zoloft as of these last few weeks to a month and a half, almost 2 months. So as y'all know, I took it for 3 years, almost straight. I began doing every other day for a while, because like sometimes taking it every single day was just too much. So I just did every other day, which was just fine. And there were weeks at a time where I just forgot to take it because I was living happily and I didn't feel like I needed it. And that's the other thing about Zoloft. And that's what I should have said something. That's what I should have said earlier. Zoloft was never meant to be taken your entire life. You may have to take it your entire life, but you don't have to. You don't have to if you don't want to. It's one of those things that if you want to get off of it, you know it's there for you whenever you need it. So, right. There was also perks, as I said earlier. When I was sad, annoyed, depressed, I didn't feel those emotions nearly as much, which was great. Because those were the same emotions that would overcome me and I wasn't able to, you know, function for the day, and they would get me to suicidal thinking. And I knew I didn't want that, especially for what I was trying to achieve in my life. And that's the kind of stuff that was hindering me from moving forward. But those were some of the perks. But some of the letdowns of having Zoloft was, you know, I wasn't able to mentally recognize at that point when I was happy. I didn't always feel the extent of the joy that I knew I could feel in that certain moment. So I could be somewhere and I could be like extremely, you know, living my life, like even like roller skating sometimes, like I'm out there and I know like my favorite song comes on my shuffle and like, I'm usually like getting really hyped up and excited that it's there. But when I'm on Zoloft, like I'm like it's still there, but it's not as elevated. Like I just don't feel those same emotions. I don't feel the extent of the emotion that I know I could be feeling at that time. So that's why I stopped pretty much taking it. Obviously also because, you know, not horny and I wanted to be. So now I am. Okay, but I'm not horny right now, but y'all know what I mean. Like that I wanted to be able to have I wanted to have the option of being that if I wanted to. So how I'm feeling now. These are some of the cool side effects I've noticed since coming off of Zoloft. One in particular that has been amazing, and I will say this, my dreams, the dreams that I've been having are so vivid. I can remember them. I never was able to do that while I was like within the last couple of years. It's been a while since I've had frequent dreams. Like every single night I will have a dream that I can remember the next day. And a lot of them have been including my late grandma. And so I'm like, oh my goodness, like this is really cool. Like I'm getting to see her again and like just kind of talk to her or interact with her. And I've noticed that, you know, like when I have those dreams too, like it, I don't know, it's just really reassuring. Some of them are kind of weird and quirky too. Like, I don't really have any current memories and I could probably even do it. That would be actually a really cool episode if I actually talk about like some of the dreams that I've had and just like record them and then just put it all in one episode. That would be really fun. I might do that soon. But yeah, another cool thing that has happened since I've been off of Zoloft, my ability to create has come back. I'm thriving. I've noticed I've been getting a lot more rest. I've been like trying to prioritize my rest. And I've noticed even when I'm like taking naps, sometimes music is playing as I'm napping, like music that I've created in my own brain, which is so interesting. And so like every time that happens, if I remember the idea, which I normally do, the music idea, I'll go ahead and like get on my, my audio software or, you know, Logic Pro and lay it all out. And then I have a new song. So I'm loving it. I'm loving that. I'm loving also being able to just like, it's easy for me to think of ideas right now and create them. And like, they're 100% mine. And I hope that that streak continues, but if it doesn't, I'm still amazed at what I've done just within the last month in regards to being able to create. It's been absolutely wonderful. And as I said just now, my sleeping has been more restful than it has in the past. I haven't been restless when I sleep. Like when I get to sleep, I sleep and that's it. Like I don't ever wake up in the middle of the night because I can't sleep or anything. I've been sleeping like a baby. It's been wonderful. And then the last thing I'll say is that I've been honoring and respecting all of my emotions during this time because I knew as I was going to be getting off of it, my emotions were going to be all over the place. And as y'all had saw, I put on Instagram live or I'm sorry, IGTV on the Instagram page that just kind of like one of my moments where I was feeling down and I was feeling not suicidal, but like kind of just like talking about it. And I just wanted to give y'all an understanding of like where I was, you know, how I felt in my low moments, because that's a side effect of depression and it shouldn't be hidden. And I don't want to hide it from y'all. I want y'all to be able to know and see like what it looks like and compare it to, you know, how I am when I'm on a good day. But I mean, all of it is valid. All of it should be given the same amount of space, and an amount of recognition. Because if you don't, then you're suppressing that emotion and that can come out in other ways. So I think that's everything I wanted to say on that. I'm so thankful that you all have joined me for this little chit chat in order to hear more about how my experience was with Zoloft. I still have Zoloft if I need it, but as of right now, in my life, I don't need to take it. And I'm not going to. I'm going to try my best now that I have the tools, the coping mechanisms to thrive in my mental health without it. I'm going to really hold myself accountable and make sure that I'm trying my best before I ever have to get back on it. But again, it's always there if I need it. So what I'm going to do for this episode, I'm going to actually make it into a blog. So all the information that I just spewed out, I'm going to make it into an organized blog for you to go and read. Just read up more about like how Zoloft has affected me and the side effects of it all. I think it'll be important for a lot of people to just be able to read it. Because I can explain it as best as I can, but the ways in which that I can speak versus how I write, I tend to be a little better at my writing. I'm getting so much better at speaking though, because I am a podcaster, but there's still a lot more vocabulary within my own brain that I'm still not able to always emulate to speak about when I'm talking like I am right now. So check that out. It'll be out hopefully in the next week or so. I will put a link up into the Instagram page whenever it is ready, and it'll be in the bio as well. So be on the lookout for that. If you have any suggestions on anything that you would like me to talk about with my mental health, I'm very happy to talk about anything, but I would love to hear from you first before I start spewing. But if not, I got plenty in my head. I already got a bunch in my head right now that I could easily start talking about. As y'all saw, like, I was already going into spiels about, like, my other facets of, like, when I was in the hospital and, you know, just my experience with child abuse. Like, there's so many other things that I can talk about that will help y'all give a better understanding about who I am as a person and why being creative, why being an artist is so important to me, because those are the ways in which that I have escaped in order to find the good in life, in order to be able to still, like, as I'm doing right now, thrive in my respective fields. And the last thing I want to say is, check out my Patreon. Y'all should totally check the Patreon out. I'm actually about to go through a small revamp with the things that I'm going to be posting on there. I wanted to appeal a little bit more to J Mix the artist as well as J Mix the podcaster. So I'm going to be throwing up a lot more things of what I'm doing in the community as a music producer, in the community as a revolutionary. And I want y'all to be able to experience that. And although I could put it on like my regular Instagram or whatever, and my Facebook and everything, I want to give it exclusively to my Patreon members, because they're the ones that are actually supporting me in order to continue to do all this. So if you haven't been on Patreon before, or if you want like a rundown on what Patreon is, I actually give a nice little descriptor. So I'm going to put the link to my Patreon in the bio, my show notes, so that you are able to check it out. See if you like it. If you feel like supporting me, it's only $5 a month to get all the main exclusive things that you'll get on there. If you want to just do general support, there's also an option to do $3 a month. So that's patreon.com/theselfawaremillennial if you're interested. All right, y'all. Thank y'all so much for joining me for another episode of The Self-Aware Millennial. Again, I am your host, J Mix, and I will see y'all next time. Bye.